Hey, Hawkeye fans, a somber good evening to many of you to watch the Hawkeyes 24-17 loss to the Nebraska Cornhuskers with a spot in the Big Ten title game on the line. Although, Kennington, I wouldn't be surprised given how crazy this Big Ten West season has been if Indiana beats Purdue tomorrow, Northwestern beats Illinois, and Hawkeyes make it at 7-5. No, I mean, I think at this point it would be the last thing really that anybody out there wants to see would be Iowa going into the Big Ten title game, especially without Cooper DeGene, Spencer Petras, Sam Laporta, keep going down the list, but obviously just a miserable outcome for the Hawkeyes today and what was a great crowd. I mean, awesome crowd, ready to party, stayed with it till the end. Thought the fans were really good today. But outcome, not quite there.
Yeah, and Noah Shannon shouted out the fans in his post-game presser and said that they really showed up for the team today. So obviously not the result that the fans wanted or the team wanted. And the way that I look at it is everything that Iowa is supposed to do to win games, they did not do today. They didn't take care of the ball. They didn't limit their penalties. They didn't limit explosive plays. I mean, those three things together, I mean, that's the kiss of death, and Kirk Ferentz said as much in his opening statement. And for me, it really was kind of like a too little, too late type of game. I mean, they had so many mistakes early that just buried them. I mean, it was a four-possession game early in the third quarter, and it was just way too steep of a hill to climb, and they just ran out of time in the end. So injuries obviously played a huge part. The three guys that you mentioned, Jay Higgins, also didn't play today as well. So injuries and everything else that I mentioned kind of spelled for this type of game. And it was interesting. In the second quarter, I like leaned over to you and said, even the worst case scenario that you thought could happen in this game, it's worse than that, especially in that first half. I mean, it just felt like an avalanche. So, you know, like you said, miserable result for Iowa. And, you know, now it feels like the offseason and all the questions that were looming after Ohio State have reappeared. And a lot of those struggles from early season re-emphasize themselves today as well.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start, to be honest. I mean, I don't think people out there really want us to recap the game too much. But but I will say this. The Cooper DeGene injury, I mean, less than 2 minutes into the game, number one, just the imagery of that injury where he's motionless on the field at the 45-yard line. And just you were scared. I was scared for him. And the good news is Kirk Ferentz said they gave an optimistic report about that after the game. I mean, you fear the worst, you know, a neck injury. Who knows? I mean, he did walk off the field, asked if it was concussion protocol. Ferentz didn't say. But I think his bell was rung significantly, knocked out cold is what I heard. So good news that he's not in worse shape. But, is it too controversial to say that Iowa wins this game by 10 points if he plays? I mean, literally all three touchdowns went right where he would have been. The punt return game gave away another 7 points and a lot of yardage. I don't know. Maybe I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm saying that might be the case. That was that big of an injury in this particular game, as big as a quarterback injury, which happened later. But anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this game really puts into focus how valuable of a player he is. I mean, it completely shifted the energy of the game. I mean, they went right at TJ Hall. Literally the first play of the next drive without DeGene was the 87-yard touchdown to Trey Palmer. And it was interesting because Phil Parker was very aware of the fact that they were going to go after TJ Hall, because on that play, I mean, TJ was 10, 12 yards off of the line of scrimmage. And I mean, it didn't do anything. Trey Palmer just ran right past him for a long touchdown. And they just kept going after him. Then he got benched and Jamison Hines went in there and they targeted him a lot. I mean, it felt like Riley Moss didn't have a pass thrown to him for the entire game almost. Maybe I'm sure he had a handful, but they were attacking one side of the field. And this is interesting because Kirk Ferentz has spoken a lot about the depth issues at cornerback throughout the season. I mean, he's said it on at least 3-4 occasions that they do not feel great about that, just because without Jamari Harris at the beginning of the year, who was in line to be a starter and played really well last year, and then Terry Roberts, who was playing great at the beginning of the season, went down. They had to put Cooper at corner, and without him, those are three high-level starting cornerbacks against a team like Nebraska, who was going to air it out and take advantage of those things. So that was just a huge loss in the game, and then special teams as well. Like you said, Arlen dropped that punt that set up the fourth score to go up 24-0 as well. So, it just can't be stated enough how big of a loss that is. And then that was mirrored with I'm not going to say an equally as big loss, but a huge loss offensively. And, they had their own struggles as well. So, we hope for the best for Cooper, like you said. And even if I were to win this game, I mean, I would have serious doubts if he was going to be available next week anyway. So, the hope is that
yeah, I guess Ohio State without Cooper DeGene.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So, and if he wasn't going to go against Ohio State, you saw what the secondary did against Nebraska. I mean, what would happen against Stroud and Marvin Harrison Jr. and, the attack that they have there, even Michigan for that matter, should they win on Saturday. So, we just hope that Cooper will be back for the bowl game, and he has a speedy recovery, as well as the other injured players on the roster. And I think that, in regards to offense kind of switching gears a little bit with Spencer, we don't really know the severity of that injury. So, it's likely that Alex Padilla is going to start in the bowl game, just depending on how serious Spencer's injury is. I mean, he was in a sling, so I wouldn't call it minor, but maybe he'll be ready in about a month's time.
Yeah, I don't want to dig into this game too much, but I thought it was such a poor start by the offense. I mean, I know that's easy to say, but like you got the ball to start the game and literally went 0-0-0. A jet sweep to Arlen Bruce for nothing. An overthrown pass to Deontay Vines. Now it looked like probably a good decision to throw it away. And then an incomplete pass to Luke Lachey and punt. I mean, it was that quick. And again, that's when Cooper gets hurt. Iowa gets the ball back after a missed field goal, amazingly. And then, punts it right back to the Huskers, and that led to the 87-yard touchdown. So the offense essentially got two chances to set the tone in this game and did nothing. And so that's where, you can blame the quarterback injuries and whatnot. But, they had a that's why this offense has to change in this offseason. I mean, it's just this was a chance. It didn't really have to do that much to beat Nebraska today. And they couldn't really – they scored no points in the first half. In fact, gave away points. So, to me, this is kind of where the conversation will lead. I know people want answers now about what Kirk Ferentz is going to do about to fix the offense. To me, you have to start – this showed me today it – as much as coordination needs and scheme are issues that personnel – is a major issue because they don't have anybody on the edge that can really make a difference in the receiving game. And they need a better quarterback. They don't have a quarterback that can function at a level where you feel like you could go to a Big Ten title game, for example, and be competitive.
Right.
So I feel like that's where it has to start for me. I know the coordinator stuff will sort itself out that will need to be addressed. But you can't deny that they need better personnel at those key positions. I mean, it was just they couldn't do anything unless it was Lachey. I mean, Lachey did stuff, but he's a tight end.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening in the college game. It's happening in the NFL. The trenches and the line of scrimmage will always be important. But if you are not elite at the skill positions and at quarterback, I mean, you're just going to have a tough time. I mean, look at the best teams in college, look at the best teams in the NFL. I mean, it's weapons everywhere. And it's a quarterback-driven sport. And it's really interesting when you think about coordination versus personnel, because it's kind of like a chicken-egg type of conversation. Like, do you get the players and then change the offense? Do you change the offense and then hopefully you get the players? They're kind of tied together because Kelton Copeland spoke to this a lot in his Wednesday Zoom, and I feel like it's fairly obvious. I mean, Iowa's getting negatively recruited to death because the coaches across the country and whoever they're competing against are just telling these kids, you're going to go to Iowa. If you're a receiver, you're not going to get the ball. You're just going to block. If you're a quarterback, you're not going to get developed. I mean, they don't have much to say about O-line and tight ends, but you can't win at the highest level with just those two positions alone. And I'm going to address that a little bit in my mailbag coming up about just kind of how much of these offensive struggles affecting recruiting. And I honestly feel like they already have, you know, obviously, and it's going to continue to be an issue moving forward. But I mean, I agree with you. The fact that 10 points feels like an insurmountable deficit says it all in itself. I remember when Iowa's defense kind of bended to the goal line and gave up a field goal. And I tweeted that that was a monumental moment. And at that point in the game, obviously Nebraska kept scoring. But at that point in the game, it was monumental because like 10 points is bad, but a 2-touchdown deficit felt like impossible to come back from. And that is, I mean, that's an issue. And the players on the edge and the problems they have there, I mean, it goes beyond recruiting. I mean, they had a full room. Guys are leaving because they weren't happy with their roles and they were injured and all of that. But it's going to take a pretty large overhaul at several levels to kind of rectify what's happening right now. And if you were kind of one of those fans that was on the side of winning is an enemy of progress and Iowa going to the Big Ten championship would give Kirk Ferentz justification to change, to not change and to bring everybody back and continue on this path. I mean, this was a game that was kind of tailor made for a drastic shift in the opposite direction. And yeah, because Iowa's not going to the Big Ten championship, presumably the offseason has, I mean, the timeline has accelerated. So this is something that they're going to have to get to work on immediately.
Yeah. And even so, Kennington, I mean, give credit to the Hawkeyes for fighting back, for mm-hmm. getting this within 24-17. And they had the ball twice down seven in the final minutes. They got the ball back twice with a chance to drive down the field and score 7 points or even go for two, maybe be wild. Although at that point, I think I'd just ride the home crowd with your special teams and kicker. But anyway, and they couldn't do it. And it led me to think about this. You go back to last year's Citrus Bowl, right? Go to the Iowa State game this year, Illinois game this year, and this game, so four games where you were behind late in the game with a chance to go down and tie or win the game and never could do it. The quarter and that and 2-minute offense is really, you know, that is a quarterback led venture. Like you have to have a quarterback that can make the throws, make the runs, make the plays. I was impressed with Nico Reggiani and Luke Lachey today. I felt like that they stepped up to give Iowa a chance in the passing game today. And they both played great. I thought Lachey was maybe the biggest positive story of the day. He looks like he is – there will not be a step down from Sam Laporta next year, I do not believe. Lachey was tremendous, 7 catches, 89 yards. I guess that was kind of a frustration point for me thinking back to – they've had chances to go grab these game-winning moments – and they just haven't under – they really haven't done it for a long time. It's hard to remember the last time they drove down and from behind and took the lead. I'll have to think about that. But I know it hasn't been under this particular 3-year regime.
Yeah, and I'll say this about today's game and just the game plan itself. I was very surprised at how much the passing game was the centric part of the offense. Nebraska, one of the worst rushing defenses in the country, and Iowa came out and tried to establish the passing game early. And even when Petras left the game, that six lineman formation was starting to gain a little bit of momentum. And then, you know, Padilla fumbled the ball. They got down 17-0. And obviously when you're down that many points, you're going to have to start, you know, airing it out. But I would have liked to have seen Brian Ferentz come out and try to establish the run with Caleb Johnson and LeSean Williams, who both statistically ran really well today. I mean, the running game was cooking. And if I just wonder what would have happened if they would have, let's say, for example, Caleb Johnson and LeSean Williams would have combined for 39 carries instead of Padilla and Petras combining for 39 pass attempts. Like, if they would have just came out and really tried to establish the run early and ride that out instead of, you know, obviously getting into passing situations, the production wasn't great today. Some of that was quarterback not recognizing blitzes from what Kirk was telling us afterwards. But I thought it was a missed opportunity to kind of ride those horses in the backfield. And I feel like that might have changed the outcome a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb Johnson looked good, 16 carries, 109. If you take away the 33 yards in sacks, Iowa had 157 rushing on less than 30 attempts. So, yeah, the run game itself was averaging 5+. Obviously, when you get into comeback mode, the pass attempts do climb typically. Anyway.
I mean, once they got down, I mean, there was nothing that they
could have
done, but, you know.
Go ahead. Well, here, let me. A lot of people are complaining about officiating, reviews, and whatnot. It's hard for me. I'd like to go through the tape on these things, but just your initial reaction to, you know, the PI call, the jumping over the punt thing call, the review that obviously went against Iowa regarding the Arlen Bruce catch. I thought that was probably 50-50 there.
Yeah, I mean, so the pass interference on Castro was really bad. Just from my vantage point, the other penalty on Castro, he got flipped over on the punt, also bad. Arlen's catch, I'd have to go back and watch it. But to me, the game came down to the turnovers. It didn't come down to the officiating. I mean, Petras' strip sack, Padilla's strip sack, Arlen's drop punt. That was 17 points right there. So that to me is kind of where the game was won and lost, in my opinion. Obviously, some missed calls and those things don't help, but Iowa lost this game largely because of self-inflicted wounds, in my opinion.
All right. You want to do some three-word headlines, or you want to talk about anything else? Want to talk about bowl games?
Yeah, I'll say this. Looking ahead, I think that this bowl game is very important for Iowa's team and for the program. I think it would go a long way if the team was able to end the season on a high note. I think that if this result coupled with a bowl game loss, however that may look, would really send the program into a pretty sour place entering the offseason. And for a team that has done so much to build back the goodwill that they lost after the losing streak, I think to end the season with back-to-back losses would not be a good thing for the program, in my opinion. So I'll be really interested to see, obviously, you know, where they go and who they play and all of that. I don't expect anybody on the team to opt out. So, you know, me looking ahead, I'm really interested in seeing how the team will respond in the bowl game.
Yeah, I think early rumblings, I think, are – Music City, probably the favorite in Nashville on December 31st. I know Hawkeye fans have been wanting to go there. We'll see. It's still early, obviously. We'll know 8 days or 9 days from now as we, you know, get to Selection Sunday, so to speak, after the Big Ten title game and whatnot. All right, three-word headlines. Lots of fire Brian Ferentz's. That's probably the most prevalent one. Rob Donaldson, Brian botched it. One other one was fire both Ferentz's. Todd Brommelkamp, radio friend, rule out Indy, RHULE.
That was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. So, Matt Rule, what do you think of that potential hire for the Huskers?
I like the hire. He's someone who's known for rebuilding programs. I think my biggest question for him is he going to be able to recruit at the level that they need him to in order to turn that program around? But on the surface, is a very solid hire. And I don't know. I feel like maybe in some ways that that news coming out right before kickoff kind of energized Nebraska's team. I mean, this is a, you know, Mickey Joseph and that coaching staff has worked hard to try to keep the team together. They've played hard. They haven't won many games. Maybe that news coming out kind of gave them that extra spark to send Mickey Joseph and the existing staff out with a win.
We lost Kennington. Oh, no.
Wait. All right.
Circle of death. Oh, he's back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
All good.
Okay.
How about this one? Jay Beek, Patriots are hiring. Okay. I know.
That's funny.
One of the three-word headlines was just a circle screenshot of Jack Plum not blocking the defensive end,
which was interesting because Kurt said that was Alex's fault.
Yeah,
he said it was Alex's fault. He says, you know,
yeah.
One of those things are the quarterback needs to understand that it's 6-on-5 and he's the 6.
Yeah, we'll have to watch the film on that one.
It was funny because I told you, I don't know if you saw that play, but I told you to watch out for that one on DVR Monday.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, here was one. I can't remember. Okay, this is from Chris Rowe. I hope I said that right. It's spelled a little differently. Offense loses championships.
Ah, how about that? That's good. Brian Duffy says, that's football, right? Ferentz did drop a that's football, which, of course, I wrote about the 2014 Nebraska loss, kind of relating it to this a little bit in terms of a troubling loss that led to program changes, and that was the famous press conference in which Ferentz uttered that's football many a times, of which Mark Morehouse kind of made famous or infamous, so to speak. Go ahead if you got one.
This from Tim McMahon. It's basketball season.
We should talk hoops.
Iowa's men's basketball got the dub today in Florida over Clemson. Hard-fought game, but Power 5 win. So Iowa 5-0, I believe.
Yeah, 74-71. My Chris Murray jinx right on cue. He was 4-for-17 from the floor, but he did have 10 points, 12 boards. Patrick McCaffrey and Tony Perkins kind of carried the team. 21 for Patrick, and good to see Tony back on the court. He only played 21 minutes, but I think he was in foul trouble a lot. But anyway, Hawk basketball wins. They play at 6:00 tomorrow.
Here's one from Carson Schubert. I hope I'm interpreting this three-word headline correctly, but in terms of this goes back to the conversation about, you know, fans who believe that winning is an enemy of progress. Nebraska saves Iowa.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know. That's what I kind of wrote, is you don't know how Kirk is going to really respond to this loss. I mean, knowing him and listening to him and the players, you know, whatever they do is not going to happen until after the bowl game. That said, you know, the portal is going to open on December 5th, right? 5th?
Yes.
You know, if there's a quarterback in there, that's the stretch where you got to go get one. But again, how do you get one if that quarterback doesn't know the plan? So an offense. But I mean, the Brett Gabbert of Miami, Ohio, that one jumped out to me right away. That's a guy that with 2 years of eligibility, Blaine Gabbert's brother, has played in Kinnick before, looked good here. I mean, you get an experienced quarterback with him. I'm not saying that's the best option out there, but I'm just saying those options are going to be available.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be Power 5 options. I know at the end of last season, I said Iowa should go after JT Daniels. So there could be guys like that who are on high-level teams that are not in favorable quarterback situations that are going to you know, throw their names out there. Maybe Iowa's viable for them, maybe they're not, but they should leave no stone unturned. I don't think that there's anybody – there is not a single quarterback in the country – of any level at any school that Iowa should not kick the tires on. Even if the quarterback denies them, you got to go out and at least try it.
Yeah, I think they have to understand that. They have to. It's clearly holding Iowa back. And you even saw, I mean, Nebraska had a great receiver today. He made the difference in the game. I mean, and their quarterback made the throws. Any others that jump out of you? I'm kind of over this game talking about it anyway.
I guess it's my last one from Troy Banning. Hawkeyes gonna Husker. If you think about the recent history of this series, it has been turnovers and special teams blunders. And that is what did Iowa in today.
Yeah, well put. All right, well, I got nothing else. I got to finish my second story here. So thanks to all of you guys that tuned in. Kennington, any final words? This is for Chad Lysico. Kennington Smith, you got the final word, buddy. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving for sure. An interesting month is ahead for Iowa football. I'll leave it at that. Whether they do a lot of things or they do nothing, it's going to be much to discuss either way it goes. So really interested to see how the program bounces back after this.